Welcome to the One Big Thing Podcast, where inspiration meets transformation. Welcome to the One Big Thing Podcast. Today I have a guest, Jeff Cavanaugh, on with me. Jeff, I have been a fan of his for the last several years. He is a radio host from the Dallas area, covers the Dallas Cowboys. Always been a big fan myself of the Cowboys since I was a little kid, and I've watched Jeff from afar from the last several years. But I've heard him say in several different takes that you never know what people are going through. And so I reached out to him and said, hey, I host this podcast. I don't know what you've ever gone through in your life, but I'd love to have you on. So today we take some time to talk about his battle with mental health, especially with anxiety and ADHD. So whether you've ever gone through something or know somebody that has, this episode is revealing. Jeff shares about his struggle with these things, but also how he's implemented some tactics in his life to live the life he wants to live. So again, I hope this episode of The One Big Thing inspires you, and thanks for being our guest. Welcome to The One Big Thing Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Campbell. This is going to be an awesome conversation today. I got Jeff Cavanaugh on with me. For those that aren't familiar with The One Big Thing, this is an interview-style show where I have the ability of interviewing people from all walks of life to really figure out what is their one big thing. For those that are new, I serve as the chief brand officer at my company, married, got 4 kids under 8 years old. So I'm right in the thick of where many 30 and 40 year olds are today, really trying to navigate life, figure out who they are and grow personally. So the one big thing with every episode, I promise, is to give you one idea that might change your life. And we're going to unpack that today with Jeff Cavanaugh. Jeff, I know you. I'll go through a little bit of how we got connected, but for those that may not be familiar with who you are, what are some things they need to know?
Oh, even the first thing that I'm going to say is a trick. Because the first thing is like, I feel like the default is like, hey, here's what I do.
Sure.
Here is my job, which that's cool. Like since 2009, I guess I've done sports radio or something like it for a long time in DFW now. And I think more importantly, especially in terms of this podcast, would be, I am a mental health advocate and a mental health person I'm a 40-year-old ADHD kid with anxiety and depression. That's me. So welcome everyone to my world.
Yeah. If you were a late 80s, 90s kid, that probably resonated with a lot of people that may not truthfully, Jeff, ever hear somebody come out and say that. So, you know, if you're just tuning into this episode, Jeff shared that. I think we're going to unpack a lot. For those of you that may not be familiar, DFW is the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I've actually been following Jeff now for the last few years. I've shared before that my father, growing up as a kid, got me in love with the Dallas Cowboys. And so I go out to the interwebs and try to find people that can talk about my favorite team. And Jeff is one of the leading voices that I've had the pleasure of listening to. So I've heard him say on his show before, you know, things about mental health. And I thought, hey man, I don't know if this is your cup of tea, but I'd love to have you on my show to kind of unpack that. So Jeff, if I had to ask you, what is your one big thing? What's one thing you want to share with the audience today?
I suppose my one big thing would probably be, and I don't know where I got my sign off from. I don't know where it came from. Like, I mean, it's mine. I didn't hear it anywhere else, but it's a version of something that I think you've heard a lot of different ways. And what I say at the end of every single broadcast is, remember, you have no idea what anyone's going through, so be cool to everyone. I love you. Be easy. And that's my big thing is people being cool to each other because life can be hard.
Yeah.
And to remember that everybody's thinking about you probably way less than you think. And the people who you think are being judgy or whatever, like, just if everybody's just cool to each other, man, how badass would that be?
Well, I think that's what we're ultimately going for. And I know as somebody that creates a ton of content, normally you want to stick to the script and kind of stay within your lane and give people the deliverable, right? So if individuals are going out to hear about their favorite football team or sports franchise, and you have somebody that kind of breaks the mold, if you will, and says, hey, don't forget, you never know what somebody's going through. That stuck out to me as a listener. And I've seen people leave comments in the, you know, YouTube videos and things like that, because I think a lot of people are struggling out there today. So I think for you, for somebody who has been in podcasting, you've done radio hosting, you know, when you make videos, you have thousands of people that tune in and watch you. You're kind of a voice to many people, to give space and credence to, like, hey, this is real. I've been through things. You never know what people are going through. I think we need more of that today. But maybe more of it in a way that isn't just trying to say, hey, let's acknowledge what's going on, but like to also let you know that like you're okay and other people are going through things. So when you say mental health advocate, like where did that come from? Or how did we get to this point of recognizing like, hey guys, we all need to be aware that people are trying.
It was probably, in terms of becoming an advocate for it, it was almost accidentally. I feel like a lot of things have been almost accidentally for me. Because I began therapy when I was probably 32, 33, because of a combination of the things that I have and then the things that come from your life experiences in the formative years that make certain things challenging for you, blah, blah, blah. All of it leads up to something that had been like, for me, relationships had always been really, really hard, like actual intimate relationships. And when something starts to feel that way, I freak out. And so when I was 32 or 33, I was with somebody and I was just so exhausted of it, of the same thing happening. It was a repeat cycle of, all right, I like this person. Oh, sweet. This person likes me. That's really fun. Oh my God, this feels like something very serious. And like, they really care. And like, I really care. And something about this is terribly, terribly wrong and uncomfortable and unsafe. And so I just freak out and run away. And this time I didn't want to freak out and run away. So instead my body freaked out and I had a full blown panic attack. And that led me to, okay, like you got to do something. This isn't going to work. The ADHD kid part of me forgot the question that you asked, but, how did I get to being a mental health advocate? So then I began doing talk therapy and, something between it saved my life and it changed my life somewhere in between there. It's been life changing. I mean, I still do it every other week, but so it's not like it's a process that is done. But I think my experience with being able to learn about myself and the whys of certain things and feel like, oh my God, there's a way to fight back was really important. And then, you do 4 or 5 hours of radio a day. And when certain things would come up in the sports world, I think it was a celebrity suicide was the first time where I was just like, my coworkers knew some of my stuff. And when we were just kicking it around, like I was like, screw it. I'm just going to go for it. And just started talking about life and struggles and how much like I get it and how I know that there's like, it's not a rare thing for people to be in really, really, really dark places. And I kind of opened up about myself and the reaction I got from that was infinitely more important and powerful than anything you'll ever have to say about sports. So like to what you said earlier, it is weird. Like I'm not going to turn a Dallas Cowboys platform into a mental health platform because you might lose a bunch of people that aren't there for that. But I do realize that it is way more important. And I don't want to take away from the other part of my job. I mean, people just having an escape and being able to listen to something that they enjoy, that's good for their day too. And I know that that has its importance. But I mean, I have, in the times that I have been very open and done a long form conversation about mental health and struggles and about how I've felt at times, like I've gotten messages from people after each of those that were literally a saved life that day. Like literally, if I didn't hear this today, here's what I was going to do tonight. But now I don't feel like I'm alone. And so that's why I think it's important that people do talk about it, because when I talk about my things, I've had people reach out to me that I'm stunned. I'm like, oh my God, you would never know. Like, oh, me too. Like I go through this and I see my therapist and I have had really, really dark times. And it's, you know, it's people that you just think from the outside, oh, that person's, wow, what a great life. They've got it together. They're really, that looks super fun and squared away. You don't know. You have no idea. And so we're cool to everyone.
Well, and I think part of your story and why it hits home, I had shared in a previous podcast with Carl Binger that my brother went through 7 years of clinical depression. And so if you've never had a family member go through depression, it's not just stinking thinking, they don't feel good. There's a chemical imbalance. And it was really hard for me watching my older brother, my rock. I mean, Carl and I were crying together on my podcast. He had tried to commit suicide several times. And I had talked about when you see somebody that's in a state that isn't their normal state and they can't get out of their own way, it's debilitating because there's nothing that you're going to be able to say to somebody. And why I want to bring this to light is you said you're 40 now, but when you were 32, you had this relationship and you went to therapy. Jeff, for those that are out there today that maybe would acknowledge something seems wrong, like they can't put their finger on it because no one in their circles talks about it. Everybody looks like they have their life together. Could be anxiety, could be depression, could be whatever, schizophrenia. I have no idea. For somebody who's like, man, what you just said resonates with me. You took the bold action of doing something, getting therapy. Was therapy your own decision that you discovered? Did somebody say, Jeff, you should go check out therapy? Or what was that initial like bridge to getting help? What did that look like for you?
It was mine. Yeah, it was mine. It was just, I had had a pattern that repeated itself over and over and over and over again in my life. And I reached a point where I didn't want it to. And it was just like, if I don't do something, if I don't change something, then why would I expect that anything's ever going to change? And so, no, that was just me. I had a nice panic attack in front of the girlfriend. And then I believe it was the next day I just started asking around about, because, you know, therapy can be weird too. Like, you might find that you have somebody that you don't vibe with, that's whatever, right? But I was very fortunate that the first one that I had was really, really good. And I knew immediately, like, oh God, this is going to serve me in a big way. My early on therapy sessions, I think my guidepost for if it was a good session was, did you cry today? Because it's like, okay, you found something. You found something that you need to talk about and you need to work through. But yeah, that was just my decision. I was exhausted. I was miserable. I was anxious. I was depressed. I was all of these different things about where I was and how it just felt like, you know, you look around at the world and you don't get to see what's going on inside everybody else's brains and minds. But what you do see is like everybody else got married and they have kids, and like, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what normal people do. Therefore, I'm not normal. And if I'm not normal, what does that mean? It means I'm weird. I'm broken. I'm all these different things. And it was just like, okay, well, let's go find out. And so I got to work.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from your sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Seed Planning Group. If you're looking for a life-giving experience working with a financial planner, then Seed is here for you. Seed is a fee-only financial planning firm with a fiduciary obligation to put your best interests first. If your goal is financial freedom and independence without sales, products, or really glorified salespeople, then check out Seed Planning Group today. You can visit www.seedpg.com. That's www.seedpg.com. And the best part, you can schedule a free consultation to find out if their fee-only planners and their process are right for you. Well, I appreciate you even bringing that to the surface too, because I'm a dad, I got 4 kids, and you know, a lot of my guests, they have kids things too, but I always like uncovering the topics and things that are sensitive that people don't talk about. And I've told you with listeners before, infertility is near and dear to my heart because I've known so many couples that have just struggled in silence, and to create a space for them to know they're not alone. Or to somebody, you know, who's in their 30s that, you know, the expectation and culture may be you should be married and having kids. There are people out there today that are single and they may feel broken and set apart and feel like, you know, family members asking them, hopefully well-intentionally, but just asking them like, hey, when are you going to tie the knot? When are you going to meet somebody? So for you to even bring that up in a podcast today, given the platform that you have, I think is kudos to you because it might help one more person at a time. And to what you said a few minutes ago, I don't ever want to undervalue or estimate what in the world you just said, which is that you have people that may be using the Dallas Cowboys or the Rangers or Dallas Stars as an outlet, maybe even in an unhealthy way. You know, they're putting so much hope in a franchise or a team to fill a void in their life. And so they come to receive content from somebody. They want to know how practice went today. They want to know about an interview that you did with somebody. But in there, they coming into that, you know, they're looking for hope. They're looking for a spark and probably never thought they'd discover it with Jeff Kavanaugh. But in that moment, you said something because it's who you are. Like you just said it. It wasn't like I'm going to say this because I'm going to save somebody. It's just this is a part of my DNA now because I've gone through some really hard things. Therefore, hey, folks, you never know what people are going through. If it was only one person in your entire career that reached out to you and said, Jeff, you saved my life, dude, you have done far more than anything you've ever done in media. But to have multiple people, and I feel like that's why I started this show, because for those that may not know, I felt overwhelmed having kids and helping run businesses and being married and am I meeting my wife's needs? And like all of this doubts that I had about like, I don't even know if I'm a good man or if what I'm doing. And I didn't know where those thoughts came from. And what I realized is that, man, if I, who on paper seems like he has a lot of good things, can have these self-doubts or have these negative things going on, how many other people are probably struggling with this? So I created the One Big Thing to bring a voice to a space that many people don't ever get to hear about, whether it's mental health or physical fitness or relationships. Let's talk about hard things, but then let's just not bring it to the surface and say this is hard. Let's give people a couple actionable steps that if they're in a position right now where they didn't even, Jeff, they came onto this podcast because they know you, they follow you, they wanted to hear about your career, and now you're talking about something completely out of left field. I got to imagine there's somebody in their car or listening to this right now is like, wow, okay, I'm not alone. So in your journey, and I guess this is a great question for me, at 32, you were still doing radio at that point?
32, yeah. Because 32, I'm 40. 32 would have been 8 years ago. And so that is 16. So yeah, I would have been at, the Fan, yeah.
Yeah, so you were doing, you know, real-time radio and having to put on, not a persona, but like you have to be a radio personality, and inwardly in your own world, you had this anxiety about relationships. So like even let's expose that for people today, you know, that are not putting on a mask, but they're trying to show up because they're being paid to do a job. And yet in their own inner world, something isn't. Was it just that when you were on the radio, it was able to like cover up what was actually happening? And when you got done, there was like this an emotional lull that kicked back in? Or what has that balance been like, being a mental health advocate, going through things, but then also being in the forefront for most people as a content creator? There's not a lot of space to hide. So like, how have you balanced those two things?
You're really good at this, by the way. You have really insightful thoughts at all times, no matter what I say. You're really good at this.
Thank you.
The answer to that is a two-parter, I think. I would say at the beginning of radio, like there is an element of showmanship, I guess, or persona when you're broadcasting. And I would say that now for me, it's just making sure that you're cognizant of like an energy level, because there does need to be a certain energy so that people aren't kind of bored. But I would say in 2016, it was probably still true. I started radio in 2009 and it was totally true. That the character I was playing was really just a desperate attempt to get even my coworkers or listeners to like me or think I was cool or think I was fun or whatever. It was a desperate attempt for some sort of approval or affirmation from people that I like you. Mm-hmm. And I would say the last few years, I don't know that anyone's ever totally clear of that, or I don't know, everybody's different, but like I want people to like me, but sure. I think I've now reached a point where I'm more comfortable with everything that is me, and that's cool. And if you don't, it's like, oh, that's fine, then I'm not for you, that's fine. And so now I'm trying to remember exactly where I was going with the question. So now what it is with work is like, I don't have to fake an engagement or an energy level because of what is going on inside me. The things that go on inside me that are challenging on a daily basis tend to exist in quiet moments. So when I am at work and when I'm occupied is when I'm actually at my best. When I have the structure of something to do and people to engage with and connect with is when life is the easiest. Life is the hardest. Once everything slows down and you get home and there's nothing on the agenda and there's no plan to do anything and you look at the wall and you go, now what? Now it's intrusive thought time. Once upon a time, my whole life was a search for acceptance or to be likable or something along those lines. And now it's still like, I think now my work time, my any appointments that I have, things that I have to do that day, those things kind of serve me because I still prefer to have an occupied brain. And that's still a challenge 8 years later at the age of 40 to realize that you got to let yourself slow down. You got to let whatever thoughts come. You got to process the world. But life's a lot easier when you don't. And when it's just like, I'm going to go to work and that will occupy me. And then I'm going to come home and I'll grab a book, which will occupy me. Maybe I'll listen to an audiobook on the way in or music on the way home and stay occupied all the time. So again, I forgot the question, but I think I probably answered it.
You're doing great. Here's what I would say. I think there are people though that probably watch you from afar and have jealousness because of the people you get to interview and who you do life with and being at Cowboys camp. And maybe they're in a season where they don't like their job or they feel stuck or feel like they're not doing anything great or exceptional. And so they watch you and it's like, man, if only I could be Jeff for a day. But yet I think what's cool about this platform is you just said, and this was something that came out of other episodes that I've done with influential people, musicians, stuff like that. I mean, when I started the show, obviously I had the idea of having, you know, people from all walks of life. You get some big name people, you get somebody who's like, hey, do you want to interview so-and-so? And you're like, holy crap. I mean, yeah, be cool. And then you get these, interviews scheduled. And the way that this platform works is there's, you know, it lets you know so-and-so is in the waiting room ready to come in. And I have to take a deep breath sometimes and be like, be cool, be cool, be cool, be cool, be cool. Like, don't freak out. Don't be a fanboy. And be like, hey, man, great to see you again. And it's like, I have this, not doubt, but just this feeling of like, am I even good at this? Like, can I do this? And then what you find is there's this beautiful thing that happens in every episode where it's almost like I feel more connected to each guest because they share things that many people don't get to hear or know about. And I think what you just said and why I want to capture it is I had one of my favorite musicians, Stephen Day, he's out of Nashville, Tennessee. Love his music. If you've never heard it, go check it out. Love this guy. Had him on the show, $110, $120 million Spotify downloads. And he had talked about how when he's on stage, he feels so alive. And when he puts his guitar down and goes back to his bus or his trailer and it's by himself, he has this huge dip where he feels like, what am I doing with my life? And to just hear his records, you would never know that. And I think when I hear somebody like you say, who does really cool things in my mind, I'm like, dude, I'd love to be doing what you're doing. To hear that when you get by yourself, when the camera's not on, you just have these thoughts that I think every person has. And that's the whole point of it, folks. Whether you have ADHD, depression, nothing, just thoughts that come to you, you're not broken. It's just, what do you do with those things? And there, I think there's a difference between you did have a bad day, something didn't go right, you got a bad email, and like something is seriously wrong. And so what breaks my heart is when I see the dad who's got kids, Twitch, a couple years ago, dude, rocked my wife and I. Guy is on Dancing with the Stars, he's doing all these shows, he's making videos during COVID, and the next thing you know, he took his life. And it's like, what happened? And so my hope is that, you know, for those that are listening to this episode today, if all this did was raise your awareness that you're not alone, because it's so easy to feel absolutely alone in your 30s and 40s, like you should have this all figured out, you should know what you're doing. But I think when you get really honest with people, there's a huge difference between, I'm going to pour my heart out on social media every day because I want people to be like, oh my gosh, Steve, what's wrong? That it becomes... You can drown people out. There's a very real difference between like, I've never opened myself up and told my spouse or my friends or my coworkers that I feel broken. Like, I'm afraid to do that. But what you said 20 minutes ago is it's been beautiful in a way. I think because you haven't always led with, hey, I'm Jeff, I have ADHD and I've had anxiety. Like our society wants us to like, tell us what's wrong right at the beginning so we can cope with that or like make sure we're not offending you when it's like, no, Jeff, you're a good dude. Like, I love what you do. If you're a little bit broken, the beautiful thing is broken pieces let more light in. And that's my big thing I tell people all the time. Just because you're going through hard things, things are beyond your control. You didn't ask for it, but you can do something about it. And that's in this last 10 minutes here what I'd love to talk with you about. Your one big thing, you never know what people are going through. So love them where they're at. You've taken steps towards therapy. Is there anything else that maybe you think one or two ideas that we might be able to leave with somebody who might acknowledge, whether it's themselves or a loved one is going through something? Therapy was one thing you talked about. Has there been anything else that has helped you in your road to just kind of discovering who you are and how you're wired?
The first thing that jumped into my head, I was thinking I should probably skip because it's illegal. But microdosing is a great antidepressant for me. But anyway, moving on to something else. There are other things that I think you learn about, when you're trying to figure out how to live with whatever it is, right? I've had times of self-worth issues, intrusive thoughts down the line. I've found other things that I know are helpful to me. And so I guess I would lead with two things. Like, journaling is amazing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple ways to do it. I probably have 7 journals in my house right now. Like, I got a Harry Potter one. I got a Lord of the Rings one. You got to embrace your nerd. You got to be who you are. You got to crack open the Marauder's Map journal and go to town. But I also got one off of Amazon. I think it's called like the Vibes Journal, where it's like each section, you journal every morning or night. And it kind of gives you prompts. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm currently at the end of a 7-day section that's kind of the affirmation section. So like the left side page is some sort of prompts or some sort of almost lesson of the day where you answer some stuff. And then on the right side is sort of, all right, here's your gratitudes. Here's your, just your mindfulness or get the crap out of your head that happened today. And here's your kind of refocus. And is there something you hope you do better tomorrow and all those things? And I know that journaling is super useful to me. Like, if I want to go from feeling like there's 12,000 things in my brain and whatever the most negative thing I could possibly think is just kind of swirling, even though I don't take the time to just look at it and be like, oh, that's what's happening right now. Because if I did do that, then I could probably get it out and dismiss it. But instead, I just let it run in the background constantly. And so, like, journaling for me is a way where you're forcing yourself to slow down and be like, oh, wait, there is a million things going on. What are you? Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm going to write you down. And once I write you down, you're no longer here because I put you here. Like, I acknowledged you and I gave voice or words to you. And now you kind of leave me alone for a little bit. And that's great. Walking, going outside. My God, outside is so good. Any sort of exercise that you can do is so good for my brain. And, but I also want to kind of leave it with, cause I do this a lot and there's some sort of balance here, I guess, that I know those things work for me. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm on probably a 7 straight day run of journaling each night before bed. Normally I might remember to do it once every 2 weeks. I might forget for a month and then I might do it for a couple of days. So it's like, I know these things that can help me. And yet I constantly don't do them. And in moments like that, I have an affirmation that is on my bathroom mirror and I'm probably not going to hit it verbatim, but it's one of the ones where I just looked up a list of affirmations and like, which ones speak to me? Because I think affirmations are great too. Say them mm-hmm. in front of the mirror. Say them. Yep. Not look at them and read them. Say it out loud to yourself. Because at first it's going to be awkward and then eventually it'll mean something. And the one, it's something along the lines of, I give myself the same love and energy that I give to others. Because I think a lot of people with depression, it's very easy. Like, you're very kind to your friends. You're very caring to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You would never interpret anything in the most negative light you could about a friend, you would be there and you would love and support. But me and a lot of people, I feel like that's not the way we talk to ourselves.
Right.
We're way more critical of us, and you wouldn't do that to someone else. And so like, that's a current focus of mine. It's like, remember that, make it a mantra. And so it's like, I want to share the things that are helpful to me, but I also want to share, try really hard to not judge yourself or be down on yourself because you didn't do them that day. You know, so like the balance between, look, I know these things are good for me. I want to share these ideas with people. Go do them. They're great. And I bet it'll help you too. And also, please be cool to yourself if you don't for a few days, if you forget, if you're in a funk. Because I have days where the grocery store is 400 yards from my front door. I'll go a week and a half without groceries because it just feels like such a task to go. It's 400 yards. So, you know, if you get in a place where accomplishing things is really, really, really hard and just feels like a lot, even though in your brain, and then you'll be mean to yourself because you're like, it's not a lot. It is not hard to get to that grocery store. So now I'm going to be mean to me because you feel like it's a lot, but it's not a lot, which means you're being a pee, blah, 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 blah. Be cool to yourself, please. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, and I hope that everybody can be. So I like to journal. Meditation's great. I have the Calm app. I do meditations. Yeah, those are things.
Dude, it's great. And I had a previous guest who talked about acknowledging, like, what are the two or three things that I have to do every day to make it feel like this was a good day? And it could be simple things, making the bed or doing something, but it's just like, these are my founding truths. And I've been a huge advocate for journaling because I think what many of us do is we struggle with something that we don't know how to figure out, and then we run to somebody else to explain something that we've never truthfully actually like dissected ourselves. And you have well-meaning people that hear what you're telling them and they want to start giving you advice. I think what journaling forces you to do, even if it's a sentence, is write the good, write the bad, write the what in the world is going on, because it is amazing when you look back a year ago, 5 years ago, something I wrote that seemed like the worst possible thing I could have been going through at that time in my life. I now look back, read my own words, and I laugh and I'm like, oh, dude, you got this. Like, journaling is an exercise that if it doesn't have to be a book, it doesn't have to be a paragraph, it could just be simple thoughts. There's some apps you can download that can help you with journaling. I've always been a huge advocate of it because it forces me that even before my wife, before I take something to her, I need to first think about where did these thoughts come from and what am I thinking about? Get it on paper. Because then, like you said, you can do journaling, you can do walking. I think one of my things that I've also had to learn is like, who is a safe person? Who is a safe space? So like, once you've acknowledged for yourself, like, I feel broken, I feel lost, or I'm on top of the world today. Just met Jerry Jones. You're Jerry Jones. Dude, I got to have you do a Jerry Jones impersonation at some point. I think that wherever you are in that barometer, writing your, getting it out of your brain and onto paper is huge, because then find the people in your life that you can be honest with. Because you have a lot of contacts, you have a lot of friends, you have acquaintances, but there's probably a handful of people that will not judge you no matter what and can actually sharpen you. And so maybe the problem is, I want to give a little bit of hope to somebody. If you've ever gone out to seek therapy and it didn't work out, don't stop. Go find the right therapist till your spider sense goes off and says, this is the one. Don't give up just because it didn't work the first time. Same thing. If you had taken a step of courage to share what in the world was going on, but you shared it in a group setting or with the wrong people and they didn't understand, don't forget that we're all meant to do life together in community, but there are certain people that it's better to share information with. And I think finding those key people in your life, do it the interpersonal, do the journaling, do something to get out of your physical environment like walking, remove yourself from the space you're in. But then find people in your network or in your life, doesn't have to be family, it could be whoever, where you can call and you know you're going to be able to text Jeff or FaceTime and be like, dude, I'm lost today. And they're not trying to change you, they're not trying to do whatever, but they're there just to listen and kind of help you through it. So I think, you know, Jeff, you even coming on today, me knowing you, you know, from afar, but now getting a chance, I feel even more kind of connected with you today. If somebody does want to follow some of the stuff that you're doing, anything you want to share here about where they can find you, what content you have, because I'll also make sure I put it in the show notes too as well.
Yes. So like my social medias are at Time for Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, on, what is that? X, Twitter,
It changes and, all the time.
And Instagram, and then just my name on Facebook. I have a page on Facebook, Jeff Kavanaugh. And work currently, I have a YouTube channel, Jeff Kavanaugh. And I am now doing a cowboy show 4 days a week and a pre and a post game show for a company called All City, which is, so our website for ours is alldlls.com or on YouTube at DLLS_sports. And what they do is they come to a city and they have an hour long show each day for every pro sports team in that city. So it's a lot of people that probably, if you're a DFW sports fan, you know the people that are covering all of the teams on those shows, and it's brand new, and it's a lot of fun. And so, yes, check out the DLLS stuff, check out YouTube, check out social media and all the things.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, you and I got connected because I was bold enough to send you a message and just told you how much I appreciated you. And it sounds like you've responded to other people that have reached out. So as the host of The One Big Thing, I want to thank you, partner, for coming on and being honest. You know that you're, I think, still figuring it out like all of us are. But just because you don't have life figured out, you know, how can we learn to turn the obstacles in our path to the actual way forward? And I think that's my thing is, even if you've never gone through anxiety or depression, maybe you know somebody that has, share this, you know, episode with them, might be able to help, follow along with us. And as always, as the host of the show, if there are topics you would love to hear about or people you'd love to hear from, message me, shoot me a note. I'll put in the show notes how to get in contact. I want to bring to you guys topics and people that you want to hear from that can remove the, like, hey, we all got this figured out in whatever aspect of your life that you need help with. So Jeff Kavanaugh, thank you for being my guest on The One Big Thing. And until next time, let's move the ball forward together. That was a powerful episode. As I said, I've watched Jeff for a long time. You never know what people go through. You don't know their story. So if Jeff's battle with anxiety, ADHD really resonated with you, don't be a stranger. Ask for help. Again, I appreciate him coming on and being so open and vulnerable. We all deal with things. Mental health is very real. So hopefully this episode gave you a sense of knowing you're not alone if you've ever gone through anything challenging, but also to know that it's okay to reach out for help. As always, I appreciate you being a guest on The One Big Thing. If there are topics or speakers you want to hear from, get in contact with me. Thank you for joining me in this journey. And until next time, appreciate you stopping by.